struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "I'm one who is having to learn this lesson of gratitude. It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of author and teacher Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing today with Christmas stories. Today's story is definitely one for children, but I love it. It's a story that I think was almost my favorite of the Beatrix Potter stories. I certainly hope that many of my listeners know who Beatrix Potter was. She was an English woman. She was single. She lived on a beautiful farm in the Lake Country of England, which my daughter and I visited one time. And when we went to that farm, we could see the very pictures that we had become so familiar with in our childhood. My mother read me the Beatrix Potter books, and I read them to Valerie. Most of you know the story of Peter Rabbit, but very likely you don't know that Beatrix Potter wrote many other stories. And the story that I want to read you today is The Tailor of Gloucester. In the time of swords and periwigs and full-skirted coats with flowered lappets, I think lappets means lapels, when gentlemen wore ruffles and gold-laced waistcoats of pas de soie and taffeta, there lived a tailor in Gloucester. He sat in the window of a little shop in Westgate Street, cross-legged on a table, from morning till dark. All day long, while the light lasted, he sewed and snippeted, piecing out his satin and pompadour and lute string. Stuffs had strange names and were very expensive in the days of the tailor of Gloucester. That word stuffs means fabric, the material that he was sewing. But although he sewed fine silk for his neighbors, he himself was very, very poor. A little old man in spectacles with a pinched face, old crooked fingers, and a suit of threadbare clothes. He cut his coats without waist, according to his embroidered cloth. They were very small ends and snippets that lay about upon the table, too narrow widths for nothing except waistcoats for mice, said the tailor. One bitter cold day, near Christmas time, the tailor began to make a coat of cherry-colored corded silk, embroidered with pansies and roses, and a cream-colored satin waistcoat, trimmed with gauze and green worsted chenille, for the mayor of Gloucester. The tailor worked and worked, and he talked to himself. He measured the silk and turned it round and round and trimmed it into shape with his shears. The table was all littered with cherry-colored snippets. No breadth at all and cut on the cross. It is no breadth at all. Tippets for mice and ribbons for mice, said the tailor of Gloucester. When the snowflakes came down against the small, leaded window panes and shut out the light, the tailor had done his day's work. All the silk and satin lay cut out upon the table. There were 12 pieces for the coat and 4 pieces for the waistcoat, and there were pocket flaps and cuffs and buttons, all in order. For the lining of the coat, there was fine yellow taffeta, and for the buttonholes of the waistcoat, there was cherry-colored twist, and everything was ready to sew together in the morning, all measured and sufficient, except that there was lacking just one single skein of cherry-colored twisted silk. The tailor came out of his shop at dark, for he did not sleep there at nights. He fastened the window and locked the door and took away the key. No one lived there at nights but little brown mice, and they ran in and out without any keys. For behind the wooden wainscots of all the old houses in Gloucester, there are little mouse staircases and secret trap doors. And the mice run from house to house through those long, narrow passages. They can run all over the town without going into the streets. But the tailor came out of his shop and shuffled home through the snow. He lived quite nearby in College Court, next the doorway to College Green. And although it was not a big house, the tailor was so poor, he only rented the kitchen. He lived alone with his cat. It was called Simpkin. Now, all day long while the tailor was out at work, Simpkin kept house by himself, and he also was fond of the mice, though he gave them no satin for coats.
"Meow,"
said the cat when the tailor opened the door.
"Meow."
The tailor replied, "Simpkin, we shall make our fortune, but I am worn to a raveling. Take this groat, which is our last fourpence, that's a coin, and Simpkin, take a china pipkin, that's a pitcher, buy a pennyworth of bread, a pennyworth of milk, and a pennyworth of sausages. And, oh, Simpkin, with the last penny of our fourpence, buy me one pennyworth of cherry-colored silk. But do not lose the last penny of the fourpence, Simpkin, or I am undone and worn to a thread paper, for I have no more twist." Then Simpkin again said,
"Meow,"
and took the groat and the pipkin and went out into the dark. The tailor was very tired and beginning to be ill. He sat down by the hearth and talked to himself about that wonderful coat. "I shall make my fortune. To be cut bias, the mayor of Gloucester is to be married on Christmas Day in the morning, and he hath ordered a coat, and an embroidered waistcoat to be lined with yellow taffeta, and the taffeta sufficeth. There is no more left over in snippets than will serve to make tippets for mice." Then the tailor started, for suddenly, interrupting him from the dresser at the other side of the kitchen, came a number of little noises. Tip-tap, 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 tip. "Now what can that be?" said the tailor of Gloucester, jumping up from his chair. The dresser was covered with crockery and pipkins, willow pattern plates and teacups and mugs. The tailor crossed the kitchen and stood quite still beside the dresser, listening and peering through his spectacles. Again, from under a teacup came those funny little noises. Tip-tap, 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 tip. "This is very peculiar," said the tailor of Gloucester, and he lifted up the teacup, which was upside down. Out stepped a little live lady mouse and made a courtesy to the tailor. Then she hopped away down off the dresser and under the wainscot. The tailor sat down again by the fire, warming his poor cold hands and mumbling to himself. "The waistcoat is cut out from peach-colored satin, tambour stitch and rosebuds in beautiful floss silk. Was I wise to entrust my last fourpence to Simpkin? 21 buttonholes of cherry-colored twist?" But all at once from the dresser there came other little noises. Tip-tap, 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 tip. "This is passing extraordinary," said the tailor of Gloucester, and turned over another teacup, which was upside down. Out stepped a little gentleman mouse and made a bow to the tailor. And then from all over the dresser came a chorus of little tappings, all sounding together and answering one another like watch beetles in an old worm-eaten window shutter. Tip-tap, 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 tip. And out from under teacups and from under bowls and basins stepped other and more little mice who hopped away down off the dresser and under the wainscot. The tailor sat down close over the fire, lamenting 21 buttonholes of cherry-colored silk to be finished by noon of Saturday, and this is Tuesday evening. Was it right to let loose those mice, undoubtedly the property of Simpkin? Alack, I am undone, for I have no more twist. The little mice came out again and listened to the tailor. They took notice of the pattern of that wonderful coat. They whispered to one another about the taffeta lining and about little mouse tippets. And then suddenly they all ran away together down the passage behind the wainscot, squeaking and calling to one another as they ran from house to house, and not one mouse was left in the tailor's kitchen when Simpkin came back with the pipkin of milk. Simpkin opened the door and bounced in with an angry meow, like a cat that is vexed for he hated the snow, and there was snow in his ears and snow in his collar at the back of his neck. He put down the loaf and the sausages upon the dresser and sniffed. "Simpkin," said the tailor, "where is my twist?" But Simpkin set down the pipkin of milk upon the dresser and looked suspiciously at the teacups. He wanted his supper of little fat mouse. "Simpkin," said the tailor, "where is my twist?" But Simpkin hid a little parcel privately in the teapot and spit and growled at the tailor. Psst! And if Simpkin had been able to talk, he would have asked, "Where is my mouse?" "Alack, I am undone," said the tailor of Gloucester, and went sadly to bed. All that night long, Simpkin hunted and searched through the kitchen, peeping into cupboards and under the wainscot and into the teapot where he had hidden the twist, but still he found never a mouse. And whenever the tailor muttered and talked in his sleep, Simpkin said, "Meow," and made strange, horrid noises, as cats do at night. For the poor old tailor was very ill with a fever, tossing and turning in his four-post bed. And still, in his dreams, he mumbled, "No more twist, no more twist." Now, I'm going to finish this story tomorrow. I can imagine that there are some listeners who are saying, "Why in the world would Elizabeth Elliot read a silly little story like that? It's nothing but fantasy. It's not in the Bible. It doesn't teach children anything true and lovely." Well, you know, I'm not going to try to defend my reasons, but I'm just going to tell you that I loved this story when I was a little girl. I loved all Beatrix Potter's stories, and I believe that God gave her a very special gift of loving tiny little animals, and being able to write beautiful stories with beautiful pictures. So if you're not familiar with Beatrix Potter's books, I would like to recommend them. But you're going to find out tomorrow what happens to the poor old tailor who didn't have enough pink silk twist, which is thread, to finish the beautiful coat that he was working on.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.